some of you are going to relate to this, so you'll know that I'm not picking on her. I'm just acknowledging that we respond to things, and for some of us, change is not easily accepted. Are any of you identifying with what I say? You like things the way you've got them set up, and you go through some sort of an awkward emotional phase until you get them the way that you, either you want them or you just accept the way they are. But then it's tracking, right? Okay, there's a lot of heads nodding. I guess you get it. Change, dear ones, is inevitable. It's going to happen to us, with us, through us, with others. The more we gather together, the more we have to submit and understand that change is just part of living. Amen? So last week, I introduced you incorrectly to the reading list. Some of you caught on that last week I preached the wrong message. Well, actually, it was a great message. You can go listen to it on the thing, but it was a week ahead. So I blew through I quickly said, we'll review, but what was the review was supposed to be that week. And the reason was because my family had a reunion down at the beach all week long. The Heine Nation met, and we blew up stuff, and we had a great time. But since I didn't think I'd have time to work on a message, you see, I did next week's message in advance. And then when I got here, that's the one I gave you, which was, do you understand? It's not easy being me sometimes. So,
what are you blaming on Carol?
I'm just talking about how change. I'm not blaming anything on Carol. The whole thing had to do with change, and I looked over there, and would you please welcome this morning Steve Finnegan? And Steve, he needs a microphone. What'd you do with it? Here we go. Steve Finnegan is a local representative of Gideon's International. This ministry you've probably heard of, but they like to come once a year and give us an update. You as a congregation have been very good to support the Gideons through years we've been supporting. So let's hear for Steve.
Thank you. 87 million scriptures have been handed out or placed in the last 12 months in 201 different countries, in 107 different languages. In the back on the table, over here, there's a little sign that says Gideon's, and I have a few of the testaments that we place or hand out in different languages, and also some English ones. A mother of two children was very distressed, and you can be if you have two young children, probably. She didn't know what to do with her life, though. There were other things besides her children that were causing her trouble. She was looking around, just thinking, what should I do? When she walked into her son, her 12-year-old son's bedroom, and found on the floor a little testament, a little New Testament that he had been given the day before at his school by the Gideons. Well, she hadn't been to church since she was a little kid. She went to VBS, Vacation Bible School. That's all she'd ever done. Well, and her son had asked her a couple questions about the Bible. She couldn't answer. Well, she looked at the, opened this up and looked at it, and at the front of these Bibles, there is a little column, a little couple pages says, help in the times of need. And you can run through all kinds of issues that you may have in your life. And the Gideons, it's printed up where to go, what verse to see, and in some cases, what page if you don't know the verse. Well, she started looking through the words, the different words, and she saw the word wary, W-E-A-R-Y, or worry, as my wife says. Don't want to change that. So she said, that's exactly how I feel. She looked and said, it's Matthew 11:28. Well, she had no idea where Matthew was in the book, but it's page 20. And there she looked, And she started reading what Jesus had to say. He said, come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She kept reading. And she felt a calmness about her. She had a next door neighbor that went to church, a church nearby, a Bible-believing church. Could have been Day Spring. But she went over to her and says, I'd like to go to church because I need to know about this Jesus. I was reading about him, and it's amazing. So the next week, she went to church, and there she knew that she had to turn her life over to Jesus Christ because the pastor was preaching on Matthew 11:28, come unto me. That's pretty amazing. It's not an accident. God has, in his perfect timing, all kinds of things happening and all kinds of areas that we're to be faithful in and trustworthy. Her neighbor was faithful to be available. Who are the Gideons? Who are we? Well, we are business and professional men, evangelical Christians. We must be active and a leader in our own church congregation. And along with our wives, we are over 275,000 men and women in these 201 different countries handing out these scriptures. We hand them out or place them in hotels and motels, as you probably are aware of, in prisons and jails, which we're very active at the Hillsborough Jail. And we are at military installations, hospitals. Our biggest item of handing out is schools, and middle schools, high schools, and colleges. 80% of what we hand out go to middle school, high school, and college-age people, kids. That's what our emphasis is on. How many go to the Washington County Fair? We'll be there in a booth. Last year, we handed out 4,720 scriptures in 4 days. We were busy. We couldn't leave our little booth more than a foot or two, but we had a lot of people stop by and ask questions. A lot of people took scriptures. So pray for that. In a town in Albania, a young lady called Farah was walking. She is visiting the town with her family, and she was walking, just walking around, and in that town, the Gideons were handing out scriptures at the local school. Well, she wanted to know what they were doing. What kind of book was it that they had? So she went up and asked them, could I have one of those books? Yes, it's a Bible. Really? I've never read the Bible, she said. So she took it, and a couple days later, her and her family went back up to their little village that they lived up in the hills. Well, she opened that Bible, and every night for at least an hour, laying in bed before she went to sleep, she read that Bible, that New Testament scripture that she was given. And she was amazed at who Jesus is and what he had done for forgiving us all our sins. And so she turned her life over to Jesus. She was so excited that she wanted her four best girlfriends to know about who Jesus is. Well, they couldn't find another Bible. It was a Muslim community, so she couldn't find any more Bibles. So what she did, she tore out each one of the gospel lessons and gave them to each one of her friends, okay? And then when they read that gospel, they exchanged it for another page. And well, so they all eventually read the four gospels. They were excited. They wanted to be Christians because that's how they understood it. It was Christ, follower of Christ, and that's what they wanted to be. Perfect timing for God. 2 months later, these Gideons came up to that village, and they were given said, you can hand out scriptures to our kids. They were looking for books to read in that little community. So they were happy to have the Gideons hand them out at schools. So these four or five girls, when they saw these men handing out Bibles, they come screaming up there, and they wanted a copy of that. Boy, the Gideons, well, we're always excited to hand out a scripture. So they handed them out. And what a blessing that was for them, because they went on to witness around their neighborhood and around their society that they were involved with. The excitement of Jesus is amazing. And we all, as Gideons, which there are in the Washington County about 75 of us from Beaverton or all the way over here to Banks and even further, even in Gaston, We have a Gideon, even in Gaston. So we hand out scriptures locally. We handed them out in the schools and in the Washington County Fair and baccalaureates, which you supported the Banks baccalaureate here. We handed out over 45 scriptures here to the graduating students and to some others who asked for a Bible or wanted one. We also, in the last 4 months, we've handed out 11,000 scriptures in five of the state of Oregon public colleges, Portland State, University of Oregon, Oregon State, Eastern Oregon, and PCC Rock Creek. Over 11,000 scriptures went to them. Believe it or not, what you hear is that there are so many people that do not want the Bible, okay? There still are many that take the Bible. We don't always know what they do with them, but we pray all the time for them. In fact, we pray for all of our churches because the church is vital. I mean, if it weren't for churches, there'd be no Gideons. So we have to have strong Bible-believing churches. We pray for Dayspring Fellowship every seventh of the month. Yesterday was the key day for us to pray for you. We're praying for all of our churches. And so we divide them into days, and we just pray that you would pray for the men and women of the Gideons to always be available and always have scriptures. Now, you provide us, I believe it's like $50 every month or just about every month. Last year was $600, so that's $50 a month. That buys 500 scriptures, a little more than 500 scriptures of these. And some of them will go locally, some will go overseas. I'm going to have a question here. What country do you think we hand out the most scriptures in worldwide? Throw out a number, a name. China. We are not eligible to go into China. They will not allow us to go into China. Africa? No, good guess. India. India is 16 million scriptures were handed out last 12 months in India. We have more Gideons in India in every country except the U.S. India has 3% Christians. We have like 30,000 men and women in India. They have 30 languages and dialects. Most of those, because they're so active, we have printed out so that they can hand out scriptures in their own language. I think like 25 of them, of those 107 languages or dialects, are languages in India. As long as you have a million or more people that are eligible to get scriptures, we'll have it printed up. And you will help with the Gideons to pay for that. Because our churches provide almost half of the funds that we use to get scriptures, and the other half are from us, the Gideons. We are business and professional men. We supposedly had been leaders, most of us are retired, leaders in our communities. So we continue to lead for the Lord, and that's our responsibility. So please keep us in prayer. Again, I have Bibles over there for you to look at. Besides internationally, we go to eight countries every year. We have what they call International Scripture Blitzes, ISBs. And we plan about 8 to 10 months ahead of time. We have 60 or 70 Gideons going to those countries and working with the local Gideons. We pay our own way, $3,000 to $4,000 for a couple week trip. And we provide scriptures with the help of the local Gideons. And in Ecuador in April, we provided in the larger cities 428,000 scriptures. Now the Lord will use all of those. His word doesn't go unused. Now, sometimes it may sit for a long time, but thank you for your support in this, and we just thank the Lord for all his blessings. Again, it's not about the Gideons that I share this. It's about getting God's word out into the world, and we are your missionaries. So thank God for each one of you at Dayspring, and we just thank God for the blessings and for his word that he's given us. Amen and amen.
Okay, so before he sits down, any questions that have been on your mind? Anybody? about the Gideons. Did he do a good job at answering it all? Okay.
Good.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Now, which message did you get today? This week's or last week's, which have both been covered. This is so cool because this has given me like a free week. A free week. And not just a free week to do nothing with, but a week to kind of just ask God for something new. 5.5 years ago, January of 2013, Carol and I were sitting on the sofa in Seaside getting ready to watch a DVD. Our friends, the Jackliches, had brought over to us. Some of you know the Jackliches. They're founding members of this church. They now live in California. They put on the DVD. It was called The Way. Which way? What kind of way? Whose way? This is just the name, The Way, is intriguing. What, you know, if you're going to sit down and watch a movie, don't you usually want to research the movie before you watch it? I mean, really, you do. Oh, somebody says, let's go see a movie, and you say, which one? And they try to explain it to you. Well, we didn't know too much about this. We had heard a little bit. But we were told this was The Way of St. James. And that piqued our interest because, quite frankly, all I knew of St. James was that he was one of the guys in the Bible, right? He was a half-brother of Jesus. You can research and find out a lot about him, but I can't say that I knew too much about him, except he was this half-brother and eventually was martyred in Jerusalem. The first apostles, it didn't go well for most of them. Turns out that James went into Spain to evangelize that country, to share the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ with the people he found in that country. The other disciples went elsewhere, and there's lots of record about where they went. James's trek across Spain has become what is known as a Christian pilgrimage. That is a Christ-centered long walk with the purpose of increasing or growing in what colleges are now calling spiritual formation. Have you ever heard that term? Spiritual formation is now a class, and in fact, I think they even offer degrees in some Bible colleges and universities. The Camino de Santiago is the way. The word Camino means way or path in Spanish. De is of. Santiago refers to St. James, the way of St. James, a spiritual pilgrimage on which you are never alone. It's very remarkable. There are many people that are on this trip by themselves, but never alone. Because in them, the Holy Spirit is starting to quicken their spirit, to work with them, to make them understand so much new, and it's like new fire. When you devote yourself to getting out of your regular life into a spiritual pilgrimage, you have to work hard to keep God away from you. You're never alone. Spiritual formation is very personal. It's custom tailored by God's Holy Spirit with you. And that's why sometimes the practice of spiritual formation is not something that you can impose upon someone else. If we were to bring in the buses and command that everybody go on this trip, some of you would be very resistant. Some of you would say, don't impose upon me your particular inspiration. Are you with me? But it's a path, this thing of spiritual formation. The word camino is the word path. And I want to ask you just to reflect for a minute, what is your path? Now, it's very easy for you to think about what has been your path. I can ask for testimony. You could write out kind of your life story. You can look back and see what your path has been. Have any of you discovered that it was different than you thought it would be? You know, life has a way, doesn't it? But the question today is, do you have any concept or any thought or idea about what path you are on? Who are you in Christ Jesus? Where is he leading you? What is he asking of you? No shame, no guilt. This isn't about what is God doing in other people. This isn't about keeping up with the Joneses, or in this case, the Jameses. Jesus said in, recorded in John 14, verse 6, he said, you all know this, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying, I'm the Camino. I'm the path. I'm the way. But so many of us struggle to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. And why is that? Why is it that we meet so many Christians, Steve? Why is it that we meet so many people that if you would ask you or ask them, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. And then you find out they really don't know anything about their faith. They don't have any understanding of what God is about in their life. They're not dedicated and purposed to spiritual formation. Have we met anybody like that? Well, most of America, quite frankly. Now, there's an answer, I think, a general answer to why I think we resist spiritual formation. And it's because it is so intimate. When God comes to you, it's a very intimate encounter. True or false? Do you think that your knowledge, do you think that your relationship with God is just academic? Is it just knowing a bunch of Bible verses? Is that being alive in the Spirit? You know? In fact, what does it mean to know God? Well, I can know all about him. I can go to school. I can learn. I can memorize. But as the black preacher so well says, do you know him? Kevin Cobble told me he was going to come visit us, and he let me know when he was coming, because when he comes, he wants me to play that. Do you know him? What is it, especially about men, that intimacy is so difficult? It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer. I have learned, this is another good thing I've learned from Carol, I've learned what level 4 communication is. Have any of you experienced level 4 conversation? Let me see your hands. Okay, it's all women raising their hands. What do you think level 4 is? Deep. Would it be intimate, personal, revealing, transparent, risky? Level 4 communication could be where it's really honest. How many men just love the heck out of level 4? Men are happiest at level 1. Yep. Nope. How you doing? Fine. How's it been going? Fine. Women love to go to level 4. Men love to go and stop at level 1. And I don't even know if they like that. Yeah. Why is it that intimacy is so intimidating? See, all the women have the answers.
No, they're missing it. They're missing it completely.
Help me.
It's because you have to face it.
Because you...
I'm going to get intimate. I got to face it.
You got to face it. Whatever it is.
It's really easy to deny.
I'm bringing up this business of intimacy not to beat on the guys... and not to overly applaud the women, but to point out what I think Jesus Christ and through his Spirit is trying to get to us. The men are resistant because they don't want to go there. They don't want people messing with them. They don't want to have to change. Even if it's painful, men will continue down a wrong road if it's a road they know. Women are often so busy talking about it, sharing their emotions and their feelings, that the still small voice doesn't really get through. So if I've done my job, I've picked on virtually everybody. Okay. But there is another way. There is another path. It's a path to God, not to religion, because Jesus Christ is also called the Word. In John's Gospel, it's lots of places, but if you're looking for an anchor text, it would be John 1:1. And John 1:14, where Christ is identified as the Word. We could go all the way to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, it says, but the Word was God. So the Son of God, the incarnate, the Son, Jesus Christ is the Word. Right? So, the way of the Word is essential for us. The pathway of the Word of God is vital to us having a vital relationship with Christ. We call the Word... we call it the Bible. Do you know the difference between the word Bible and the word scriptures? Steve mentioned handing out scriptures. What he meant when he said they were handing out scriptures was he meant they were handing out Bibles. We tend to think of them as synonymous, don't we? The Bible really is a collection of scriptures. Are you with me? There were some councils back in the early days after the church formed, and in these councils they were presented with a big volume of writings, and there was a process in the councils of canonizing those writings, and they met together and they discerned which of those writings were holy. You with me? So those holy writings, those scriptures, were canonized and became what we call the Bible. Correct? So this collection of sacred holy writings, which we now call the Word of God, provides for us a wonderful Camino. We are called... to not just read the Bible, God's Word, Jesus Christ, but we are called to become intimate with Him and it. How many of us have multiple Bibles at home? the Gideons make it their entire mission to try and get just New Testament scriptures to people, much less the entire Bible. What happens in a country, I'm sure, and I don't know if you measure this, but what I'm sure would happen if people got into the New Testament, it would raise all kinds of questions about history. And it would provide another pathway for them to get into the Old Testament eventually. And there are some subdivisions, or I don't want to call them denominations, but there are some parts of Christendom who say Jesus only, New Testament only. They only want to concentrate just on that. And I'm certainly not faulting them for loving the New Testament. But the New Testament is not fully explained. The path is not fully illuminated without the Old Testament, because this is where the story began. You know, it's like picking up a novel and reading the last chapter and saying you got the book. What I'm trying to emphasize this morning is that God's Word is part of our service of worship. So what is worship? Worship is when I become more intimate with God, isn't it? I mean, some people are very free in their worship. Some people love to raise their hands and close their eyes, and I kind of like to just ignore y'all while I can sing praises to God. That's okay, isn't it? Some of you are much more reserved and less intimate in your worship. I don't say any less devoted. I don't mean that you're less a believer. It's kind of like a husband and wife. If you've got a very emotional, loving to go to level four woman, and you've got a rather staunch, masculine, G.I. Joe kind of guy who doesn't want to get intimate, and these two are married, they are one flesh, you with me? That guy is probably not laying prostrate on the floor in the evenings worshiping God. You think? There's no tear down. There's no criticism of that guy. Nor is it a compliment to the emotional woman that she is much more intimate. But what I want you to hear is when Jesus comes along and he knocks on the door of your heart and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," and you stand there like this. So I guess I'm talking mostly to men in this regard, but perhaps some women have been so abused in their lives and are so staunchly determined not to be led by anybody anywhere that this can become a female posture as well. You with me? And Jesus comes, knocks on your heart, and says, "Come to me. Lay it all out in front of me. Let me be your Savior. Let me heal you. Let me touch the parts of your life that you haven't been willing to let anybody touch." I'm not going there. Not going to do it. I remember so distinctly going to the Episcopalian church in Texas, outside of Dallas, Texas. My wife dragged me to a charismatic Episcopal service where the priests raised their hands and sung in the Spirit. And I was Episcopal raised. I thought I was going to a decent church. And as the church got on and the songs got going, I ended up like this. "You can't make me like God. You can't make me be intimate with him. You can't make me enjoy this stuff." And so they went through the service. I can't even tell you anything about the service because I was so locked into my defense. Thing was over. They had what was called an altar call of prayer. So it wasn't for healing, it was for prayer. Anybody could come up. So people started going up. And Episcopal churches aren't known for altar calls of any kind. and the people were going up, and the priests were laying hands on them. There was prayer going on in the background. The pianist was playing. It was all very lovely. Now, because I do like music, I found myself attracted more to the after-service prayer than to the actual thing, right? So I moved myself closer and closer to the piano because it was safe. And they're doing all that fancy Pentecostal stuff over there. And I'm over here safe with the music. And some of you have heard this testimony before, but this song at the time wasn't an old song. It was called Alleluia. It's not much of a song. It's just a lyric almost. And it's a kind of a captivating little lyric that you immediately learn if you've never heard it before. Alleluia, alleluia. And I found myself involuntarily singing in the spirit. And when it happened to me, I burst out in laughter, which was not appropriate. This is a holy setting. But I'm laughing at what God is doing through me. And I would stop. And then I would go. I could sing in English, hallelujah. I could sing in the spirit. Hallelujah. Why is it that intimacy and surrender are so difficult for us? Romans 12, verse 1, we've read recently in our men's group, talks about presenting our bodies as our spiritual service of worship. Worship is supposed to be that relationship between you and God, where you're trying as best you can to tell Him how much He means to you. A good way to remember the word worship is to re-spell it worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H. Worth-ship. That's what worship is. It's where I say, boy, you are worth everything to me. In fact, without you, oh God, what's left? This place, right? A fallen world. But with Him, I know that everything is worthwhile, yes? Amen. With Him. So God's Word is Jesus Christ, true or false? We are called to have intimacy with Christ. True or false? So we are called to have intimacy with the Word. Because it will be a path for us. I read a wonderful little summary of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you had to summarize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you say, okay, here's this volume of reading, and you've got all these scriptures and all kinds of places you could go and proof texts and things to remember. But if you just had to say, what is the book of Matthew about? You could say it's about the call to discipleship, right? So you could say to somebody, this story called Matthew, the path that it's going to take you on is a call to discipleship. What's a disciple? Follower of God. Yeah. If you had to summarize the book of Mark very quickly in case the book of Mark, you could say, oh, now this is about the cost of discipleship. Hello? It's one thing to hear the call. It's another thing to get on the road and walk it. Right? I can't tell you how many times we got on the path and during the day I'm thinking to myself, gee, is there any way to minimize this? So Matthew is the call to discipleship. Mark is the cost of discipleship. Luke is talking about the summary of the Gospel of Luke is Jesus Christ is not just the Messiah to the Jews, but He is the Savior of the whole world. So if you're a Gentile, you should love the book of Luke, right? The Jews could get, the Israel, let's better call it Israel, could get very happy because their Messiah had come. But if you're a Gentile, you don't have a Messiah. Now you do. And then John, oh my goodness, John summarizes so wonderfully, brings the whole thing together with the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Word. What I've tried to give you just in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a pathway of intimacy. God is calling you to a deeper relationship with Him. Because the closer we are in Him, the more we can release Him to others. Correct? I love to quote the scripture, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Why do I work so hard at keeping Him stuffed down? Right? Because I'm proudful, or I'm selfish, or I'm weak. Whatever the reasons are in my human life. But oh, the majesty and the ecstasy of releasing Christ. Have you discovered that yet? Even just rarely have you been able to release the Lord? Well, of course you have. Whenever you've loved somebody else, you've let Jesus out. Right? Because God is love. You don't have a capacity to love anybody in your flesh. You with me? You got a lot of capacity for lusting. But in order to love, we have to release the Lord. So God is trying to show us a way of living. And I know you've heard this so much from me about the Camino, but all along the path, I've been transformed by this kind of understanding. All along the path, there are what are called waymarkers. Are any of you hikers? Do you know what a waymarker is? It can be a sign. It can be anything. In Spain, it's just a yellow arrow. It can be a nicely printed yellow arrow in a shop somewhere, or it can just be a splash of yellow paint on a tree bark. But you know with confidence that if you're following that yellow arrow, you're on the path. And believe me, you come to intersections at times where the path has five or six places. And we're walking up there, and oh my gosh, what now? And somebody, oh wait, there it is. Right there in the base of that tree, there's that little yellow arrow. And with confidence, you walk down that way. Because you know that you're safe. You know you're not alone. You know that's going to take you to where you're trying to get. Are you with me? Church, your lives have a lot of things going on. John Mock is not the only one who's facing a crossroads. And John and Irene are right in the midst of trying to make decisions and understand the will of God. Whether you're old like us, or whether you're just starting out your families, or whether you're a young person, there's a lot of ways to go in this life. And it sounds kind of simplistic to say, look for the yellow arrow. But I say to you, get that Word of God out. Pull out your scriptures. Go to the first pages and look for what you need. Go to the index and find page 20. Where Jesus can say to you things like this. I love you. I will never forsake you. True or false? Well, how would you know that if you hadn't read that and then tested it? Anybody? How do we test what the Word gives us? He didn't say, I love you, I'll give you everything you want. Right? He said, I love you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I think the leaving and the forsaking is what we do, not what He does. So this morning, I wanted to kind of give an extended Gideon message for the Word of God as not just some book that's helpful and gives you good thoughts. The Bible is not just a bunch of verses you're supposed to memorize and try and pull up when you're in crisis. There are way markers in this Bible for your life. One of the difficult parts of teaching the Bible is we tend to teach dogma. I can't help it. I will teach you what the Bible has taught me. You with me? I will teach you what I know of it. But you may know something different than that. You may read the exact same text I'm preaching on next week and come up with a whole different understanding of what God is speaking to you. Dear ones, this is intimacy. This is the kind of love relationship I think God wants with us. I think He wants a dynamic, flexible, fluid, on fire, new wine relationship with you. And you don't get that if you get up every day and spend all day, every day, all week long without the waymarkers. And I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody on a certain reading plan. I'm not trying to say you got to do what I think you ought to do. I'm trying to get you to go intimate with God. Go intimate. Let Him have you. And He'll get you in this book. Or I should say, in this book, His arms will reach out and grab you. The Holy Spirit will work. For you see, spiritual formation is the path to God through Jesus Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit, where the very Word becomes flesh. Amen? Bring some new fire. Bring some new fire. If you've ever driven to Pendleton, Oregon, out 84, you pass, just before Pendleton, you pass this big Woody Clark's business of tractor trailers. He's got, I don't know, 50 or 60 tractor trailers out there that he sells to, you know, they're all 18-wheel kind of things. Woody Clark's a Christian. He's so radical, he gives everybody that buys one of his trucks, he gives them an instruction manual. And it's the Word of God inside this tractor. Can't you just see that guy pulls over and starts to open the instruction manual and find out where the carburetor is? And Woody Clark says, it's right here. Lord Jesus, come and help us to understand how much You love us, that You want us on the way of the Word, and that You'll light it up and the markers will be there if we'll just take the steps. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. God bless you for your support of the Gideons. Let's not forget them. Amen? All right, you are dismissed.